Welcome back to the Digital Orthopedics Podcast and our audio series from the 9th Annual DOC-SF Experience. My name is Dr. Stefano Bini, and I'm the host of this podcast and the founder and chair of the DOC-SF Conferences. In this talk, during the Generative AI in Orthopedics session at DOC-SF, we explored a nuanced perspective on artificial intelligence, in which we dismantled the myth of artificial intelligence as a monolithic overlord and delved into a few of its specialized functionalities. For this session, I was the speaker, and I provided an overview of generative AI, how it creates a sense of understanding through language models, and the importance of fine-tuning these models for specific tasks. The discussion transitioned into real-world applications of artificial intelligence, focusing on data collection from the physical world and advancements in robotics. Key technologies like RAG and fine-tuning were highlighted as solutions to AI's tendency to hallucinate. The talk concluded by linking the arrival of physical AI to advancements in robotics once the latter is enabled by the former to interact with the world around them, much as humans do through sensors. It's actually quite extraordinary and exciting and a little scary. All right, enjoy. Love the way Fabrizio discussed agents and co-pilots and really showed you how AI is not this global overarching overlord. It's going to break down into individual pieces that are super and hyper-specialized. I'm going to go through just a quick overview, and for some of you, simplistic overview of AI, and just go through a couple of things I find interesting. The idea here is to tell you what's current now, what I think will happen in a year. I have no idea what will happen in 2 years. I don't want to pretend. But I think these trends are interesting. So generative AI, why has it been so cool? Guys, it gets you, right? You get the feeling that it knows who you are. Now, why is that? A large language model essentially learned how to read language. We describe the world we live in language. So once it understood language, it understood the world we live in. And therefore, when we interface with it, it feels like it gets us, even though really it's just statistics. But that gives us a sense of connection. It's become a paradigm shift. I love this quote. With the new systems, the user no longer tells the computer what to do, coding. It tells the computer what outcome they want. It's a very different interface that we have with computers. And now that we can this idea of empathy, we doctors thought this is the last thing they take away from us. We're empathic. We don't spend an hour and a half answering every question the person has. But this issue with generative AI is that it hallucinates. It's not a bug, it's a feature. It's what makes it so interesting, is it's creative. But if it doesn't know the answer, it's like a kid that doesn't want to disappoint you. It just makes it up. Now, here's how that works. I was just thinking about it as I was listening to Fabrizio. It's like our residents in clinic guys. They see an x-ray, and they recognize it as osteoarthritis. In their reading, in their training, they know that osteoarthritis is associated with cysts, with subchondral sclerosis, and with osteophytes. So they see an x-ray, it's an arthritis clinic, you tell them to read it, and they tell you, oh, it's a hip arthritis, it's got cysts, it's got subchondral sclerosis, and it's got osteophytes. And you turn to the resident and go, there are no cysts, and there are no osteophytes. But this resident had that in their mind, that is what those things are associated with x-rays, so they bring it up. We call that hallucination. Humans do it too. But what if you try to improve on that? What if you try to give basically an open book question from which it has to pull the answers? We call that RAG, Retrieval Augmented Generation. It allows the software to only select the answers from the area that it's interested in, that you're interested in selecting it from, so it minimizes the chance of it giving you false information. This went to a tech conference. 12 companies out of 13 literally were selling RAG architecture. So I think you'll see it come through and want to make sure you understood what it was. The other area is fine-tuning. Fine-tuning is like taking that resident and basically letting him go through residency program. So he's actually really, really good at that. So the generative AI models are trained like they went to college and know a little bit about everything. But if you really wanted to give you great information about engineering, you need to send that resident, the student to MIT, basically give it a ton of information, really, really focus on one topic, And essentially now you've fine-tuned it. They usually wind up being cheaper, faster, better. And you start getting to these agents that Fabrizio talked to you about. Okay, moving on from generative AI, what's the big frontier? The next big frontier in AI is always looking for data. Turns out the next big chunk of data isn't in the digital space where we've been playing for the last 10 years. It's in the physical world, this world we live in. And it's interesting because we don't value that very much. We see the world we live in as a place to stand it. Yeah, we generate a ton of data and we start getting that information together, we'll be able to understand it better. So the next bunch of foundation models now are being trained on real world data so they can encode the world around us. And just like they did with language, with encoded language, and it could understand the way we think about the world, it'll actually know how the world truly works, allow us to query it, access it, and get information from it. Moving on to robotics, because this is linked. So once a computer can understand the world it works in, it actually can handle this problem. So a robot walks into a classroom, finds an empty seat, sits down, watches the professor speak, and corrects them on the mathematical model. The hardest thing for the robot to do in that context is finding a seat. It's the hardest thing, finding the seat. Understanding the world it lives in, getting to it, sitting down, making sure it's not somebody's already there that left their computer there or something. But once we start giving computers that ability to do that, and the robotics, and this is a session we'll go into great detail in the afternoon, you start opening up the possibility of virtual cobots, like we talked about earlier with the technologies, but actually physical cobots, robots that work with us in various tasks. And we saw some videos from Daniel. This is a robot that mimics human things that it sees a human do and does it. We'll be talking for about an hour on this, but I just wanted to show you some of the videos of what's happening out there because I don't fully understand these things, but they're challenging the way you think about how robots should work, what they can do, and how we should think about them. This is the latest Boston Dynamics robot. And I don't know if we have audio. Do we have audio?
So based on the scene right now, where do you think the dishes in front of you go next?
The dishes on the table, like that plate and cup, are likely to go into the drying rack next.
Great. Can you put them there?
Of course.
I think Daniel showed a video that's maybe the next generation of this, but there's a lot of editing here. So, but it is fascinating. You start looking at this and you're going, okay, well, where are we? How does this actually work? So in essence, what I just did is I went through, look, generative AI is really cool. We talked a whole week on it. The issue of hallucination has been handled reasonably well with two technologies, RAG and fine-tuning. There may be better ones coming out. You now have AI models checking AI models. Moving on from that, we're moving into this physical AI space, which is actually quite interesting because of its ability to encode the world into a understanding that lets us query it. And that itself is linked to a huge movement forward in robotics, not just in what they can actually do physically, what you saw those do, but how they interact with the world so they can do what they expect them to do. And because it's such a big deal, we're going to spend an hour and a little bit talking about the future of robotics and orthopedics. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Digital Orthopedics Podcast, and hope you'll make a note to join us for the next Digital Orthopedics Conference San Francisco in October. Take care. Bye.